Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Samech Hei. We left off on daf Samech Daled Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the discussion. We're at Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom. It is also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Lezecher Nishmas, his father, Menachem Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Yisrael, Zichrono Levracha, whose 14th yahrzeit is tomorrow. In the Shemeshav and Aliyah, we thank Henry, we thank David, we thank both sponsors for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss in today's daf is the following. First, we're going to finish up the discussion of Ger Toshav from yesterday. We were discussing how, in some way, Ger Toshav is like an Ovid Chavim. So does that mean that he has the ability to be Mvatal Avodah Zarah? Is that a Raya that he has the ability to be Mvatal Avodah Zarah? Or maybe no. Maybe Ger Toshav being like an Ovid Chavim means something else, nothing to do with being mevatel an avodah zarah. Then the Gemara is going to tell two stories of people who sent a gift to a nachri on an avodah zarah holiday and why that was justified. The Gemara is then going to have machlokes Abaye and Rava, why the wages are mutter when you just moved some yayin esech after working with other stuff the whole day, that at the end you just move a little bit of yayin esech, so the wages you get are mutter, the Mishnah said. Why should that be the case? After all, you're working with yayin esek, even just a little bit. So those wages should be aser. Then the Gemara is going to explain the case in the Mishnah about a guy using a rented donkey for yayin esek, where the Mishnah says that if the guy rents the donkey, lahavi yayin esek, then scharo aser. So we're going to discuss why that is, what the case exactly the Mishnah is speaking about is, why it's not repetitive. What difference does it make whether you rent a donkey or you hire whether the guy rents a donkey from a Jew or hires the Jew to do the work, why the Mishnah has to tell me both of those things. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to start a discussion of tarovis of Yayin Nesach. What if Yayin Nesach gets mixed in with other stuff? So what's the status of that stuff? When does it become Aser? When do we assume that the stuff will still be Mutter? That's going to lead the Gemara, the Mishnah itself and the Gemara, into a discussion of the concept of no sein tam lefgam. When you have Iser that gives tam but ruins the tam, makes it a negative time in the heter, that the iser is not going to impact the heter. Then the Gemara is going to talk about when yayin falls on wheat. What can you do with that wheat? Can you sell it? Can you grind it and bake it into bread? What are the limitations on that wheat? So let's begin again. We're at Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Last thing we had said was that according to the Braisa, l'shar kol dvarav harehu kovid chavim. For most matters, a ger toshav is like an ovid. So he said, what does that mean that he's like an Ovid Chavim? Doesn't that mean that he's allowed to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah? And isn't that therefore a Raya that even though he's Lopalach, even though he's someone who doesn't actually worship Avodah Zarah, he still could be Mevatel Avodah Zarah? Some Rav Nachman Yitzchak, lo, that's not what the Braisa means, that he has the din of an Ovid Chavim to be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah. It means as far as Eruvei Chaseros are concerned, Litin Rishos, Levatel Rishos, that he's not able to be Nosin Rishos or Mevatel Rishos, just like an Ovid Chavim cannot be Nosin Rishos or Mevatel Rishos, which means that if a Ger Toshav has a house that opens up into a chatzer where Jewish people live, the Bnei HaChatzer cannot carry anything out from their own house, which is their own private Rishos, to the jointly owned chatzer, the chatzer that's owned by all the Bnei HaChatzer, until there's Socher Rishos from the Ger Toshav, from Erev Shabbos. He can't just be Mevatel Rishos like a Jew would be able to do. When there are Nachrim in the neighborhood, you need to be socher rishus, ukedetanya, like the Braisa tells us, that if one of the people living in the chatzar is a Yisrael mumar mishamer shabbato b'shuk, he's a Jew who's not religious, but at least in public he's not going to be mechal Shabbos. But simply he's mechal Shabbos without a problem, but in public he's not going to be mechal Shabbos. And he did not participate in the Eruv with the Bnei HaChatzar, so he asers all of them from being motzi from their own house to the chatzar. So what he could do is mevatel rishus. He could be mevatel his rishus to the Bnei HaChatzer, so that they will be able to carry outside from their homes to the Chatzer. But chain mishamer Shabbat b'shuk, if he's a mechal Shabbos b'farhesia, even b'shuk he's a mechal Shabbos, and they realize on Shabbos that they were never socher rishus from him. Ain mevatel rishus. He cannot just be mevatel rishus. And none of the bnei chatzar are going to be allowed to carry out from their homes to the chatzar on account of this fellow being there. Mepnei sha'amru, because the Chacham said that if someone forgets to participate in the Erev Yisrael, nosin rishus mevatel rishus. If there's someone who forgot to participate in the Erev is Yisrael, so he could be nosin rishus mevatel rishus, and therefore it's a problem that you can solve on Shabbos, because he could do that on Shabbos. Obovid chavim, but if he's a guy, then a Yisrael who lives in that chatzer is not going to be allowed to carry from his house to the chatzer ad sheyiskar, unless the Yisrael was so chereshus from him, which he should have done on Erev Shabbos. So ketzad, how do you give is the Yisrael no sin or mevatel reshus? Omer lo, the Yisrael says to the neighbor, reshusi kenu yilcha, reshusi mevatel slcha, and then kana. Then with that amira alone, they're kona without it giving any money. Vein sarik liskos, they don't have to do any sort of maisa kinyan in any other way. So it turns out that there are three dinim, or three levels when it comes to eruv chatzeros, if someone lives in a chatzer where his home opens up into the chatzer. Yisrael makes an eruv chatzeros in Erev Shabbos, and if he forgot to make the eruv chatzeros in Erev Shabbos, he could be no sein or mevatel his rishus legabe all the other bnei chatzer, and then they're going to be allowed to be metalta on the chatzer. That's category one. Category two, a guy or a gertoshav, or a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya does not participate in the Erev with the Bnei HaChatzer, but you're socher from them, the Rishos from them on Erev Shabbos, and they cannot be Nosin Rishos or Mevatel Rishos. You have to do a Schiras Rishos from a guy or a Ger Toshav, or Yisrael Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya. Right? That's what we do. We do a Schiras Rishos from all the Nachrim that live in the area. We do it through someone who's authorized to act on behalf of all the Nachrim in the area. And then you have Mechal Shabbos Betzina, or a Tzduki that's not Mechal Shabbos, but he's Kofar B'Torah Shebal Peh, where you cannot make an Eruv Chatzeros with him because he's not Moda Be'eruv Chatzeros, but they're able to be Mvatel Rishos to the Bnei HaChatzer, that they have the ability to be Mvatel Rishos, even though they don't have the ability to participate in an Eruv Chatzeros. Those are the three categories of people that one might have. So now, says the Gemara, a story relating to sending something to a guy who's not a Ger Toshav on a holiday. Rav Yehuda Shadale Kurbana, Rav Yehuda sent a gift, La Avidrana, to a guy named Avidrana, Biyom Edom, on an Avodah Zarah festival. So Amar Rav Yehuda says, the fact that I sent him a gift and I'm not worried that he's going to be Holi Chamod Avodah Zarah, that's because Yadana Beid Lo Palach Avodah Chavim. I know that he's not a Novid Avodah Zarah. So I'm later Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Vatanya, but we have a Braisa, Ezu Ger Toshav, Kol Shkibulav Mnei Shosh Chavim Shlal Avodah Zarah. But Rav Yosef says to Rav Yehuda, the Braisa says it's not enough that you know that he's not Ovid Avodah Zarah. The only way he has the status of Ger Toshav is if in front of three people, he's Mekabel not to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Now, even though we said that way at the beginning of the Masechta, in the very beginning of the Masechta, that for 3 days before Yom Edom, you're not allowed to send, you're not allowed to do business with a guy or lend it to him or anything like that because he's going to be Holi Chamoda. But when he's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, Rav Yehuda reasoned that that should make it okay if he's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah because you know that he's not going to be Holi Chamoda. Asks Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if he's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so why would you give him a gift Dafka B'Yom Edom? Meaning it's not a Sholach Korvana Dafka in the Yom Edom. If he's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so why is that meaningful to him? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that the day of the celebration of the Avodah Zarah typically was reserved for New Year's Day, whatever their New Year's was. So for people who were not religious, it was a celebration stam. It was a day to party, like New Year's in America is a day to party. But for people who are religious, then it was a day that was a significant religious event. Now the Netziv writes in the Tshuvin Meshuv Davar Chelupei Siminun Vav that Rebbe gave the gift L'Tovas Atzmo, meaning he did it for his own benefit. benefit, so that Avidrana would be Makir Tov to him. And that's why it's not an Isra of Lo Sichanim, because that's what we had, that Tosos on Dav Chav, that Lo Sichanim is only if you're doing it for no ulterior motive and you don't plan to get any benefit from it, it's a violation of Lo Sichanim. So there must have been some ulterior motive over here, otherwise, forgetting about a Holy Chumoda level Dazara, there would be an issue of Lo Sichanim. But bottom line is, the Gemara Rav Yosef asked the question, why are you allowed to give it to him? He's not a Gertosh, just because you know that he's not Ovid Avodah Zarah, he's not a Gertosh unless he was Mekabel in front of three people. So it says Gemara, Kitanya hi lach yosa. Now that did, and he needs to be Mekabel in front of three people in order to be a Gertosh, that's as far as the requirement to support him, to lach yosa. But as far as the concern that he's going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, as long as you know he's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, he didn't have to be Mekabel in front of three people in order to not be concerned that he's not going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara of Amrab Bar Bechana, Amrab Yochanan, Gertoshev Sha'avru Alav Shemas or Chodesh, a Gertoshev who it's already been 12 months since he was Mekabel not to do the Avodah Zarah, Vilomal, and he still hasn't gotten a Bris Mila, Hareu Kamin Shabov the Chavim. We assume that he's like a Kofer, and that's because it's Mochiach to us that he must be connected to the Avodah Zarah still. Otherwise, what's he waiting for? Why didn't he do the Bris Mila? So how can Rav Yehuda be allowed to send this gift? Because he says, oh, I know this guy never did Avodah Zarah. He never even did a Kabbalah in the first place not to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Even if someone did such a Kabbalah, but 12 months have passed since that Kabbalah, we would not, we would be Choshesh, we'd assume that he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Rav Yehuda, the guy never even did a Kabbalah. He certainly was never Mal. He never did a Kabbalah in front of three people. And you're not going to be Choshesh, he's Ovid Avodah Zarah. So it says, Mar Hasim, Gan Shekibel, Avlam, Avlam, Mal. Yeah, if a guy was Mekabel in front of three people, and then he didn't take the next step that you need to do in order to officially be a Ger Toshav, it must be that something went wrong, that he aborted the process of becoming a Ger Toshav for some reason, and that's what raises our suspicion. But if a guy never did an official Kabbalah, he's just not interested in Avodah Zarah, and you know he's not interested in Avodah Zarah, so there's no reason he needs to get a Mila. He's not looking to be a Ger Toshav. He's just not a person who's connected at all to Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's not a Reyesa that he didn't get a Mila. There was never an expectation that such a person would get a Mila. Story number two, Rava Amti Le Korbana Le Bar Sheshach. Rava sent a gift to Bar Sheshach, B'yom Edom, also on a festival of Avodah Zarah. So Amar Rava says, I'm not worried that this guy is going to be Modal Avodah Zarah because of the gift that he received, because Yadana Be Delo Polach Avodah Zchavim. I know that he's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Azla Ashked Yasav Atzavari Bevarda, Rava then went and he found that he was sitting in a bathhouse full of rose petal water, Vikaiman Zonos Arumos Kamei, and he had these Zonos who were totally undressed serving him. So Amalei Bar Sheshach said to Rava, you know, look how I'm living the life. Do you have any Olam Haba that looks anything like this, that has this kind of pleasure, this kind of enjoyment? So Amalei, Rava said to Bar Sheshach, actually, our enjoyment of Olam Haba is much greater than what you're enjoying right now. So Amalei, Bar Sheshach said to Rava, Tvei Mehai Mihava, is there such a thing as a greater level of Hana than what I'm having right now? So Amalei, Rava said, Atuni Ika Laichu Emasad Malchusa, you always have to have fear of the Malchus. We in Olam Haba are not going to have Ema of the Malchus. So Bar Sheshach said to Rava, what are you talking about? He says, I'm a Sar Lemelech Paras. I don't have any Ema of the Malchus. So Adi Yasvi, while he was sitting there in that bath, also who Pristaka de Malka, a messenger came from the king, Amalei, and the Shliach said to Bar Sheshach, Kum de Kabay Lach Malka, get up, because the Melech is requesting your presence. Kinafik va'azil, when Bar Sheshach went to go greet the Melech, Amarlei, so he said to Rava, Eino d'bay l'mechzi l'chubishusa tipaka, the wine that wants to see evil come upon you should be uprooted, because Kadosh Baruch Hu apparently does whatever you desire, because you said something, and then 2 minutes later it happens, so obviously you have some sort of power. So Amarlei Rava, so Rava said, Amen. Ein. Yeah, the eye that wants evil to come upon us should be uprooted. So Paka Ened Bar Sheshach. And right there on the spot, when Rava said Amen, Bar Sheshach's eyes popped out. The klala of Rava was Mekuyim, because he really wanted to see Ra'asam Shal Yisrael. Whether he realized it or not, that was something that he wanted. The Gra, in his commentary on Sefer Yonah, says that Bar Sheshach's question was, what is better? Is it Olam Hazeh, when it's Betovo B'Shalva, or is it Olam Haba? And Rava responded that in Olam Hazeh, even when you're enjoying it and things are relaxed, a person can never be confident with what he has, and he always has to be worried that he's going to lose everything. Whereas in Olam Haba, a person knows that whatever he has is his, that it's actually going to last, that it's going to be there forever. Meaning there's always that uncertainty in Olam Hazeh, that we know in Olam Hazeh that things are not lasting. I was just reading last night, Rabbi Wines, the Chronicle of Racha, he used to talk about this all the time, that when he was building his yeshiva in Muncie, when he built Shar Torah, he ordered beams to support the base medrash from a company, from a lumber company that came with a guarantee of 80 years, that they won't rot, they won't whatever, for 80 years. And someone said to him, you know, for just a little bit more money, you could have ordered from somewhere else with a guarantee for 300 years. And he said, in thousands of years, has there been a yeshiva that's lasted for 300 years in Galus? Has there been anywhere that's lasted for 300 years in Galus? Meaning, Galus doesn't last that long. Wherever you are, it's going to be enough. Meaning, that's the nature of living in Galus. That whatever we have in Olam Hazeh, it's fleeting. It's not going to be there forever. We always have. We're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. We don't know what's going to be. So, Olam Haba, a person has that confidence. So the Gemara brings other responses that Rava could have given to Bar Sheshach, meaning Rava said what he said to him. He said that, we don't have Emasad Malchusa in Olam Haba, but Olam HaPapi Yibayle Meimele Mehaikra. He could have responded to him from the Pasuk where the Navi tells Klal Yisrael about the great kavod that they're going to be zocha to, La'asad Lavo, where it says, Benos Melachim Bikrosecha Nitzva Shegal Liyamincha Bekesem Ofir, that the Shvachos that serve you are going to be benos malachim, and that's going to be an honor to you. And the queen is going to stand to you to your right, wearing the tachshite zav that comes from Ophir, the most exquisite jewelry. So Rava could have said that the maila of Klal Yisrael la'asadavo is greater than whatever you're experiencing right now, because the people that are going to service the Jewish people la'asadavo are going to be the most dignified people and the highest. You got a bunch of zonos that you hired. That's how you got a bunch of lowlives that are the dregs of society are serving you. It's bizyanus. What we're gonna have is even the greatest people serving us. So I'm Rav Nachum Yitzchak Yibayle Meimra Levehacha, and Rav Nachum Yitzchak said he could have responded from the following in the Navi Yeshaya: Ayin Lo Ros Elukim Zulaska Yasa LeMachakelo. That only the eye of Hakadosh Baruch Hu is able. No one. Has seen the covenant and the gedula like the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do la'asadavo, that he's going to do for the Jewish people, that there is nothing in the world that rivals it. And that's the pasuk that tells us that we can't even imagine it, meaning a person can only imagine something that relates to what their eye has seen. You cannot imagine something that's beyond what your eye has seen, right? When people imagined what the year 2025 was going to look like in 50 years ago, so they knew there was such a thing as a car, they knew there was such a thing as an airplane, flying cars, right? That's going to be it. It's going to be because you just see the best our imagination could do is what we've seen, and just to top it. AI, they couldn't have thought of that, right? Meaning there are things that they never would have imagined. So the schar in Olam Haba is something that a human mind cannot imagine. Schar lasas imam malach acharis. The Mishnah then went on to say that if a guy hires a Jewish worker to do some other malacha, not with Yayin Nesach, and then at the end of the day he says, move that barrel of Yayin Nesach for me, Mimakom Lamakom, so then the wages that the Jew receives are mutter. So it sounds like this happens during the work day. So Avogav Delo Amar Leili Tusei Erev. It sounds like even though he didn't ask him to do this after the work day was over, during the work day he asked him to move some of the Yayin Nesach, and still the payment that he gets is going to be mutter. So Reminu, but I'll ask you a stira, because it says in the Brisa Socher, Poel, And only in the evening after the workday is over. He says, do me a favor, you're still here, just schlep that barrel of Yai Nesach. Then the wages you get are mutter, because the wages are not for schlepping that barrel of Yai Nesach. The wages were for everything else you did that day. But time adomalei to say Erev, it sounds like it's only because it was after his workday was over. In, that's why the schar is going to be mutter, because the guy would have to pay him whether he moves that barrel or not, because he finished doing what he was hired to do. But kula yom alo, but throughout the rest of the workday, then the schar would not be mutter, because the schar that he receives at the end of the day is for moving the Yai Nesach as well. That's schar of Yai Nesach. And yet our Mishnah sounds like that's going to be mutter. Now Tosos raises the question, the Gemara could have just answered, that the Mishnah that says scharu mutter, even if he doesn't say it at the end of the workday, holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who we're going to have on Daf Ayin Dalet, who says that if Yai Nesach gets mixed with Yai Kasher, you're allowed to sell the entire Tarovas to a guy, chutz midmei Yai Nesach. You just don't charge for the percentage of it that's Yai Nesach. So maybe scharu mutter means chutz midmei chavit, you know, the amount of money that you get for moving a barrel, you know, but the rest of the day's work should be good. So that's the Kasha Tos says. Meaning, why would we assume scharo aser, that the whole day scharo aser? If you assume like that shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you could just deduct the amount that you get paid for the bad stuff, so then why don't we assume the same thing over here? You could just deduct the amount that you would get paid, but the rest is going to be scharo mutter. So Tosfos has a few answers. Number one, Tosfos says the Gemara would rather the mission be gone like the Chachamim, who disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel and hold that you're not even that when Yai Nesach gets mixed with other stuff, you're not allowed to sell the Taroves Chutz Midmei Yai Nesach. You're not allowed to sell it at all. The whole thing becomes Aser. So here also, the entire Schar should become Aser, according to the Chachamim. Second Tos says that it's the Gemara assumes that if the Braisa says that Schar Mutter, it sounds like not just the Schar that you get for the rest of the work, all of the schar is mutter. The Gemara is working with the assumption that schar is mutter, that the entire schar of what you get for that day is mutter. And then third Tosa says that it's only by Yayin Nesach that Rav Shimon Gamliel is matir, because there's no chash that a Jew is going to be kona that taroves from a guy, because a Jew never buys wine from a guy, because the wine was never mavushal. But when it comes to schar hapoel, very common for people to take schar from the guy. That there are a lot of workers that take the schar up front, and when the poel is going to be mavir the chavis of Yai Nesach, so the prutos that he already took are now going to be nitfas pi isurei anah. And when he gives back to the pruto to the guy, he's going to buy with that pruto something that something from a Yisrael, and that pruto is already going to be asur ba'anah. So that's going to be the problem. So that tells us three terutzim as to why it is that we don't go like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Tosfos says, now according to the first two answers, we can answer another question. Why didn't we just say the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that there's a pidyon for the Isra Hanah of Avodah Zarah, and by throwing the Dmei Hanah Liyam HaMelech, this schar is going to be mutter, so Yashlich Dmei Hanah Liyam HaMelech. So according to the first answer, we could say that the Gemara would rather the Mishnah be going like the Rabbanan, and not like Rabbi Eliezer, and according to, just like we prefer it to be going like the Chum, and not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So you can't give an answer that we're going like some Tana, some Das Yochid in Tanoim. And according to the second answer, we could say that the Lashon of Scharu Mutter means Legamri. You don't need to do anything. Below Pidyon, it's going to be Mutter. The whole thing is going to be Mutter. So that's what Tosfos writes. But anyway, this is the Gemara's question. Why is it that Scharu Mutter, even if it sounds like, even if you schlep that barrel of Yai Nesach during the workday, why should it be Scharu Mutter? The Braisa says only if you do it lead to say Erev, that Scharu is going to be Mutter. Two answers. Yeah, make a new kimta. Our Mishnah means that he asked you after the workday was over. But if you slept that barrel of Yai Nesach during the workday, then Scharo is going to be Aser. Rava Amar Lokasha. Rava says, I don't see a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. That the Braisa says that if you do it throughout the day, during the workday. It's going to be, the schar is going to be aser. That's if he tells you, bring me 100, schlep 100 barrels for me for 100 prutos. So as long as you didn't schlep all of the barrels, you're not entitled to your wages. So when you schlep that 100th barrel, which happens to be ayin nesach, now you're entitled to all of your wages. So that's scharo aser. But when the Mishnah says that if he asks you to move a barrel of ayin nesach in the middle of the day, scharo mutter, that's where he says, I'll give you one pruta for each barrel. So just don't take the pruta for the barrel of ayin nesach. Take the prutos for all of the other barrels, and that's why it's going to be scharo mutter. V'atanya, and a brisa that says, just like Rava, hasokras a pol v'amr lahavili mei chavios b'meir prutos, a guy hires a pole and he says, move 100 barrels for 100 prutos, and one of them turns out to be a chavish al yayin nesach, scharo aser, chavis bepruta, but if he says, one barrel each for a pruta each, nimtis chavish al yayin nesach b'nein, scharo mutter, and one of them turns out to be yayin nesach, then you're allowed to get the schar for all the other barrels, because they're not all bound up with each other. Each barrel that you take, you've earned, you've accrued another pruta. So you're the one for that's yayin nesach, you're not allowed to get paid for. Okay, then the Mishnah said that a socher sachamor lavi ale yayin nesach scharo aser. That if a guy is rents a donkey from a Jew in order to schlep yayin nesach, the payment that is the rental payment of that donkey is aser bana hasu lamali. Why does the Mishnah have to mention this? Hainu reisha. We already said this in the reisha that if you hire a Jew worker to work with Yayin Nesach, scharo aser. Why should the donkey be any different? So Sefet Srichle, the Tana has to mention the case of the of renting a donkey from a Jew rather than renting manual labor from a Jew because of what changes at the end of the Mishnah. That if the guy is scharo leishev aleha, it goes on to say that if he rents the donkey to sit on it just for himself, even though he puts a jug of Yayin Nesach aleha, scharo mutter, the schar is still going to be mutter. So that's the new chiddush that appears in the seifa that did not appear in the reisha. That since it's not normal to put jugs of wine on the chamar, when you rent a chamar, it's to ride the chamar. So we don't assume that the payment that the Jew is getting is payment for transporting Yayin Nesach, even though the guy happens to put his jug of Yayin Nesach on the chamar. So says Mar. Do you mean to tell me that he doesn't have the right to put a jug of wine on the behemoth because it's not a normal thing to do? Or a mini, I'll ask you a stira, has socher as a chamar if a person rents a chamar from somebody socher, maniachalek suso. That it's a normal thing to put your clothing and your jugs and your food that you need for that trip, even if it's going to be is going to last many days. But afterwards, if he wants to put more than that amount than he needs for his trip, the donkey driver can say, "I'm sorry, you can't overload the donkey. You're allowed to take it's understood. You know, X number of pieces of luggage, that's what you're entitled to. Beyond that, you're not entitled to it." And the donkey driver can pile the donkey up with the amount of food that he's going to need to schlep for that day to feed the animals. But after that, the socher could say, wait, you're going to slow down my trip. Why are you schlepping all this stuff with you? So the socher could stop. He said, it is on my dime. I'm renting this donkey from you. But bottom line is, you see that the kad is a normal thing. The jug is a normal thing to put on the behema. Granted, you're allowed to put a kad on a behema because it's the derech to do that. But mia ilo mosavle nakele agra de liginaso. But if he chooses not to put a jug of wine, would he pay a penny less for that? Right, meaning if you don't take advantage, they tell you on the plane you could bring a carry on and a personal item. So I like to have things compact. I only have a carry-on. Can I say, as I'm getting on, I'd like a few dollars back. I don't have a personal item. No, you're entitled to a personal item. They don't give you anything back. They're not going to give you a few dollars back. If you happen not to take it, they can't deduct anything. So the Gemara explains the din of the Braisa that the socher is allowed to put whatever food he needs for the trip, and the chamor is allowed to put, the donkey driver is allowed to put the mizonos that he needs, not for the whole trip, but just for that day. Well, hey chidami, what exactly is the case? If along the way there's places to buy food, there are rest stops where you can buy, then the donkey driver should be able to tell the guy, why are you bringing stuff for the whole trip? There are plenty of places along the way where we can buy stuff. And if there aren't places where they can buy stuff, then the socher should not be able to stop the donkey driver from bringing more than a day's worth of food for the animals, because if they're not going to be able to find anywhere else, so then the donkey driver should be entitled to bring enough food for the animals to last the whole trip. So what's the mitzias over here? That there are places to buy along the way, but with tircha, you have to be tareach to be kona such things. Meaning it's not a convenient, you know, rest stop along the highway. There, you know, it's where they tell you, you know, a gas exit, but you get off the exit, it's 4 miles away. There's a, you know, it's like a, it's a big tircha where you're going to go and you're going to find somewhere to buy something. Chamer darkei lemitrach lemizban. A donkey driver, he's a seasoned traveler. He knows how to travel from one place to the other and to you know, work to find some food. Socher lav darkei lemitrach lemizban. But the guy that's renting the donkey, it's not an expectation that he's going to know how to do that, and therefore he's allowed to bring in advance enough food to last for the entire trip. Avod ravacha breid ravika. The father of Ravacha, Breid Ravika, meaning Ravika, right? If he was the father of Ravacha, Breid Ravika, so was selling wine in jugs to storekeepers, and the money that they paid for the jugs themselves as well. So have a shafich lechamer la'ovdik chavim. He would be tarech to be shofich the wine from the jugs of the gayim that they had a little bit of leftover yayin nesach in it. And then he would bring over the river, use a boat to transport the stuff over the river. The avule gulfe ba'agra, and they would give him the jugs themselves as payment for pouring the wine and for schlepping the stuff over the river. So they came and they told Abaye that Rav Ika was receiving these jugs, these kankanim, for the tircha with yayin esek, because the wine that he was pouring into the jugs became asur ba'anav because of the tarobes of whatever was left of yayin nesach that was in there. And the schar of yayin nesach is asur ba'anav. So Abaye says, Ravika was doing correct, because ki katarach be'atera katarach. When he was tarech in the yayin, the tircha was the yayin that had not yet become asur, because the yayin does not become asur until it rests in those jugs. And the malacha of shvicha is completed when the yayin is already to the avir of the kli, and it's still mutter at that point, and therefore the schar that he gets for that is not going to be schar of yai nesach. So fractimar var rotsa b'kiyumo, but he's rotsa b'kiyumo of yai nesach once it becomes aser. The lo nitzur ziki, that the jugs should not crack, and then they're going to have to he's going to have to bring wine again for the to the kankanim, and the lukuchos are not going to give him the kankanim. And we said that anyone's rotsa b'kiyumo shel yai nesach in order not to lose money, that money is asur ba'anav, so it should be asur for that reason. So demasni ba'adayu. Now he made it tonight with the lukuchos that even if the jugs were to crack, he's not gonna give them kankanim, and therefore he's not rotsa b'kiyumo. Inami, or we could say demaisu prizdaki ba'adayu, that the lokchim brought empty kelim with them just in case this happened, and therefore it doesn't matter whether they crack or not, and it's not rotsa b'kiyumo. But he's being mavir the lukuchos with the yayin nesach over the water to katarach biisura, where it turns out he's being tareach with the yayin nesach, which is asur ba'anav, because that was after the wine was already poured into these jugs. So the kankanim that he got from them are schar tircha of yayin nesach, and that should be asur ba'anav. So answer Gemara, Rav Ika was in charge of the boats of the river, and damar l'mabru meikara. He said to the sailor of the guy who was driving that boat way before they bought anything from him to bring these people for free whenever they come, and he himself was not going to have to be tareach in it. So it's not the schar of tircha of yai nesach. Inami dinikiti bekitri, or it could be that he would make a simon of a knot of some sort, and the sailor knew based on that simon that these are the lukuchos of Ravika, and he wouldn't charge them. so he wouldn't make his money on the transportation of these items. It was only on the tircha of pouring into the kelim, and at the time they poured into the kelim, it was not yet yayin esach, and therefore that was going to be mutter. Okay, new Mishnah. Yayin esach shnofal gabei anavim. If you have yayin esach that fell on top of grapes, whole grapes, the anavim become asr because of the yayin that's on them, and when you want to be machshir the anavim, you want to eat those anavim, yedichan, you need to rinse them off with water so that they don't have any yayin esach on their surface, vein mutaros, and through that you'll be allowed to eat the grapes. V'imhayu muvukaos, but if they were cracked grapes, they were sliced grapes, they were open in some way, then asuros, then they're going to be asr because the wine is going to seep into those cracks, and then it's going to, okay, there's no rinsing it off. Nafal agabe te'enim, if it fell on top of figs, the yayin esach, oh, agabe tamarim, or on top of dates, im yesh ben menosin tam, if there's enough wine that it gives tam into the figs or to the dates, you could detect the tam of yayin, then asr, then it's asr ba'achila, and it's not enough to just rinse it off, because the figs are very soft, and the wine will become absorbed in them, and the dates also have a lot of folds in them, a lot of crevices, and the wine will be absorbed in it and will stay in there. So there's no hadacha. You can't just rinse it off. Umaisa bebaitus benzonon shevi grogros besfina. One time, baitus benzonon brought dried figs on a boat. Vinishtabrcha v'shal yayin esach, and on the boat, a barrel of yayin esach happened to have broken. Vinafal al gabein, and it fell on top of the figs. V'shal l'chachamim, and he asked the chachamim what the din of the grogros is. V'yitirim, and the chachamim said that it's mutter. Zaklal. So the rule is kol shabnasu v'nosin tam. Whenever you get hana'a from the tam of the iser in the heter, so it's going to be usr, then you're not going to be allowed to eat the heter because the heter had been improved by a nesinas tam of the iser into the heter. Kol shein b'nasim nosin tam mutter. However, if the iser gives tam into the heter, but it's not in a hana'a kind of way, the tam that the iser gave into the heter made the heter taste worse, then it's going to be mutter. This is what we call nosin tam lifgam. And an example of that is that you have chometz of yayin esach, vinegar from yayin esach, which is aser, that falls onto grisin, that falls onto beans that are heter. The tam of the chometz ruins the tam of the grisin. So it's not going to aser it, even though you can detect it, but it ruined it. It made it worse. So first, frakt the Gemara, maisa lister, wait a second. At the beginning of the mission, we said, anytime you have wine that falls onto figs or dates, there's no rinsing it, it's going to be aser, it's terrible. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah right away, tells a story, and there was a story of Baitos Benzonon that brought figs on a boat, barrel of wine cracked, fell all over the figs, mutter, right? What do you mean? We just said that that's aser. It's a maisalist story. You said a halacha, and then you said a story that directly contradicts that halacha. So how could you say such a thing? So says Mar Chisuri Mechsra. We're missing a line over here. There has to be a line of perush in between. Vachi Kazani, this is what the Mishnah meant to say. Im nosin tam lifgamu mutter. That even though we said that wine that falls on dates or figs is going to aser it, and there's no rinsing it off. But if the wine gave a negative taste to the figs or the dates, then it's going to be mutter. My sanami bebaitos benzonon shayim maybe grogros besvinim and shtaber chavishal yayin esach v'nafal al gabein but ma'isa v'necham v'itirum. And that's exactly what happened with this ma'isa, where on the boat the wine gave tam into the dried figs because it gave a bad tam into the dried figs. And nosi tam lefkam is going to be mutter. Ha'u kri dechiti, there was a pile of wheat. That a barrel of yayin esach fell on the wheat and it gave tam into the wheat. So Shai Rava Lizbun Melov L'Chavim. Rava allowed selling that pile of wheat to a guy that they're mutter ba'anah and they're only going to be aser. It's only going to be aser ba'achila. So Esve Rava Barli Va'i L'Rava. So Rava Barli Va'i challenged Rava that we have a brisa beged sha'avad bo'klayim. If you have a beged of pishtan that had one strand of tzem that was of wool that was woven into it, and you do not see where it is, so you can't just pull it out. So the beged is also its shatness. You're not allowed to sell it to a guy. You're not allowed to make it a saddle on a donkey. Also tachrichin the meis mitzvah, but you can make it tachrichin for a meis mitzvah. The Rishonim point out that the Maram Chalva and the Meiri that it doesn't have to be a meis mitzvah. It's lav dafka meis mitzvah. So you could do it for any mace. It's just that al pi rov, you only need to scrounge for a beged, shavar bo klayim, for a mace mitzvah, because you need the cheapest thing you could find to take care of the mace mitzvah. Otherwise, the family is going to take care and buy whatever begadim the person is going to need. But so he explains the kasha as follows. Why can't you sell to a guy? Because he might turn around and sell that beged to Yisrael, who doesn't realize that there's shatness in there. So Chanami, over here also, the ayin nesach that spills on the wheat. If a Jew is not allowed to eat it, how could he sell it? The guy may turn around and sell it to Yisrael. You're allowed to buy wheat from a guy, so he may turn around and sell it to a Jew. Says Gemara, no. Hadar shara limitchinu. Rava changed his mind of what the heter was. You're not allowed to just sell it to a guy. What you're allowed to do is grind it into wheat, ulimifinu, and bake bread out of it, and sell that bread to Ovid Chavim. Shalom b'fnei Yisrael, where a Jew doesn't see that you're the one that provided the Ovid Chavim with that bread. Now no Jew is ever going to buy it, because pas akum is aser. So no Jew is ever going to buy that bread from an Ovid Chavim. It's not going to be a concern. So tana and yayin, asr shnav al gabay, anav miyadichim v'im atarzim v'mivukos, sasuros, mivukos, inshen mivukos, lo. It sounds like if the grapes are not mivukos, if they're not cracked, they don't become aser, because the wine does not become absorbed in them. You could just rinse it off. Well, isn't wheat also not mivukaos? So why did Rava aser them ba'achila? Shouldn't you just be able to rinse them off? So says Gemara, Amara Papa, shiny chiti, wheat is different. Ho'el va'agav tzirayu kimivukaos damyan. Since they have a natural crack to them, it's as if they've been cracked open, meaning they will always absorb some wine that falls on them, and therefore it has the same din as grapes that are in fact mivukaos. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the top of Daf Samach Vav. Have a good day.